Daniel, come here a moment.
Sir?
The Rookham account is overdue for payment. Did you speak to him as I asked?
Oh, not yet, Mr. Cottonwood. Can I talk to you about that one, sir?
What's to discuss? Payment is now due. In fact, payment was due over a month ago.
Yes, sir. I know. It's just that... Well, it is Christmas time, sir, and he does have a large family to support. It's a difficult time for him financially. I'm sure if you gave him a few weeks longer, he would be able to recover his debt. And perhaps recompense you a small amount for your kindness.
The size of his family is no concern of mine, Daniel, and neither is it of yours for that matter.
I understand, sir. It's just that...
May I remind you, I'm not running a charity here. He accepted the loan readily enough, and was made abundantly clear of the terms of repayment. I feel I've been generous enough in giving Mr. Rookham an extra month to try and pay the sum he owed to me. I'm a patient man, Daniel, but even my patience must one day end, and that day has come.
Mr. Cottonwood, he doesn't have the money. Just needs a little more time.
No, Daniel. He has had enough time. Go to him at once and request payment in full. If he cannot or will not pay, then issue instructions of foreclosure.
He doesn't own anything of value worth taking in exchange for the debt, sir. Foreclosure will gain us nothing.
Then that is something Mr. Rookham will have time to consider upon whilst he languishes in a debtor's prison. It is folly to borrow money that you cannot repay, and greater folly still to be the man who allows his money to be borrowed and not to be repaid.
I'll go visit him now, sir. Shan't be long. He lives just a couple of streets from here.
Daniel!
Sir?
I'm not a complete tyrant.
No, sir. Of course you're not. Was there something else?
Yes. A little charity can go a long way. Tell Mr. Rookham that he has till tomorrow morning. That will give him some time to try and accrue the money he owes me.
Yes, sir.
Come now. What's this? Daniel, is that you? Ragamuffin children, no doubt. It's the parents who should take the blame. Blasted paperwork. I'll be here for an age trying to get it back into order. Those damnable urchins don't realise how much trouble they cause. Who's there? Come on, show yourself! Who are you?
Your days have become forfeit.
Let me out! For pity's sake, let me out of here!
The time has come for your sins to be measured!
Perfect. Not too obtrusive, and by the sounds of things, we're in just the right place.
It's a bit cold, isn't it? Smells a bit too.
Yes, it is quite a pungent aroma, isn't it? Still, a suitable place for the TARDIS to remain undisturbed nonetheless.
So, Doctor, what's this big surprise you were going to show us?
We're here.
What?! An alleyway infested with rubbish and heaven knows what else?
Of course not, Rob. Out there is Victorian London in the full swing of Christmas Eve.
So, we're in for a white Christmas then?
Not quite, no. Oh, there's snow on the ground, but there'll be no more snowfall tomorrow. This is 1849. 1836 was the year for that. What a Christmas day. I remember it well. There were 50-foot snowdrifts around London and the Thames was frozen solid. I spent an enjoyable evening skating on the river with a wonderful chap named Faraday and then discussed ideas for a dynamo.
An electromagnetism flare, I see.
So where are we going?
Oh, I thought we'd take a little wander around the streets for a while and see what's happening. There are a couple of nice little music halls in the area. Maybe one of them will offer us a little festive amusement. Come on! Just think, all around us are houses full of Christmas decorations. It was only 3 years ago that people started putting Christmas trees up in their houses. No fairy lights, obviously, but the candles made the trees look breathtaking. Okay, a few houses used to burn down because of them, but all the same, they look very good.
Where exactly are we, Doctor?
Oh, about 5 minutes away from St. Paul's. We should be able to see it as soon as we get past these buildings.
What's that smell?
Nuts.
Pardon?
Or to be more precise, roasted chestnuts. The stall must be somewhere near. I'll treat you to some.
Doctor, look!
Ah, come on, this is a real treat.
Chestnuts! Roasted chestnuts! Get them while they're hot. They're lovely!
How much for your nuts, my good man?
Tuppence a bag! Finest quality nuts in all of London. Make no mistake.
They certainly smell it. I'll have 3 bags, please.
There you go. 3 bags of me finest. That'll be 6 months.
Here you go.
Oh, careful, mister. They'll be pretty hot.
Indeed they are, but what I tasted of it was delicious. Thank you, my good man.
Don't forget to tell all your friends. Old Mordecai sells the finest chestnuts in the whole of London. Every day I'm here on Cheapside.
You tell your help friends. Me. Somebody help me.
Steady there, old chap. Nick, help me with him quickly. I think he's fainted. Rob, take your coat off and bundle it up like a pillow. That's it. There's nothing to be done about his lying in the snow, but at least we can raise his head up out of it.
Oh, Doctor, that's my new coat. It's a Gucci.
Now, Rob. It's only getting a little wet, no harm done. Nick, go into that building he came from and see if you can find any smelling salts or anything like that.
Sure, Doctor.
Nick?
Yes, Doctor?
Be careful. Something obviously frightened this gentleman. If anything in the building looks out of the ordinary, come straight back. I think he's going to be okay. Here, wrap some snow up in this and then place it on his forehead. He's actually starting to burn up.
Oh, I wonder who he is.
I'm more interested in what scared him. He looked almost out of his mind when he came out onto the street.
You'd think some of these people would stop to help.
That sort of thing happens quite a lot in your time. It seems that the rose-tinted past is apparently no better. Ah, Nick's coming back.
Nothing, Doctor, sorry. It looks like it's some kind of office.
Well, we may as well get him inside. Besides, we're attracting quite a bit of attention out here. Come on, you two, help me get him back up.
Mr. Collingwood
is fine. And you are?
Daniel. Daniel Everett. I'm Mr. Collingwood's factotum. A boy just came running up to me and told me that Mr. Collingwood had collapsed on the street.
He seems to have fainted. Has this happened before?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, he seems to have lapsed into a sleep now, but this office floor is hardly the best place for him. Perhaps we could help move him somewhere else for you.
No, I'll be fine. Mr. Cottonwood's driver can help me get him into the carriage and we'll take him home. I'm sure he'll be fine once he gets there.
Are you sure? I have had some medical training.
Quite sure. Thank you, but no. Mr. Cottonwood is never tended to by anyone other than Dr. Stapleton, a renowned physician and trusted friend. Well, thank you for your help. I'm sorry to be rude, but the quicker I could tidy things up here, the quicker we could be away. If you let yourself out...
As you wish. Nick, Rob, let's go explore the sights of London.
Well, there's gratitude for you.
There was something very wrong there. That young fellow, what was his name?
Daniel!
Ah, yes, that was it. Well, this Daniel seemed extremely concerned about something, and it wasn't just the state of his employer's health.
He made it pretty clear that he didn't want our help, Doctor.
And that's precisely what makes me want to find out more.
Doctor, I thought we were going to enjoy a Victorian Christmas. Can't we ever stop somewhere without getting involved in all sorts of problems?
Yes, you're right, Nick. You could do with a bit of enjoyment time, the both of you. You don't need an old fellow like me along. Why don't you and Rob go off and explore the city for a little while? I could meet you back at the TARDIS in, say, 3 hours? 4 at the most? Here's a couple of sovereigns. They should get you by.
How much are these worth, Doctor? Pre-decimalisation coins aren't something I know a lot about.
Oh, £2?
£2? You expect us to get by for a few hours with nothing to our names but £2?
Nick, this is Victorian England. One of these sovereigns would get you a banquet of food for the both of you and still leave you change. Now go on and have some fun, and I'll see you in a few hours once I've dealt with this.
Oh, what's that, Doctor?
Oh, nothing. Just Mr. Cottonwood's wallet. Ah, and like any true Victorian gentleman, he's left a return address inside. Finding him shouldn't take too long.
Ooh, you crafty old devil, sir. I didn't see you swipe that. Lord's of mercy.
Well, Mr. Cottonwood has piqued my interest, and it was obvious that Daniel wasn't going to be very forthcoming. So I remembered that line from the musical Oliver. You've got to pick a pocket or two. Well, off you two go, and don't be getting in any mischief.
Bye, Doctor. See you in a few hours.
Yes, you've got to pick a pocket or two.
He is weakening. The once mighty Arthur Cottonwood has been reduced to begging for help. Where was your pity when I needed it? When I was facing financial ruin, where were you? Helping me? Pitying me? No, you were picking over the pieces like a dog feasting on scraps.
What have you done, you fool? We're supposed to be trying to redeem Arthur, not sending him into the arms of madness.
What do I care for his redemption? What will that gain me?
A way out of this limbo we're all stuck in. Helping Cottonwood will help yourself. I've told you this before. You died at your own hand with hate in your heart. The only way you can escape this plane is to redeem yourself through him.
I'm not as desperate as you to leave this place. I'll not compromise myself to get away.
Say that now, but what will you say when the darkness closes in? I've heard you screaming into the void as those that torment us in the darkness came. You're as desperate as any of us to be away from here. Talk to this fool before our alliance ends.
Well done. Cottonwood's sanity is decreasing. Soon we will be able to destroy him.
She will try to stop you. As soon as she realizes what our real purpose is, she will fight to save him.
By the time she realizes what is happening, it will be too late. Besides, we need her. We need the power of three spirits to succeed, and there is no other with a connection to Cottonwood. Return to Cottonwood. Bedevil him once more. The time of reckoning is fast approaching.
And you?
A new factor has entered the equation. I need to monitor him carefully. He may decide to become involved. If he does, we'll need to be ready.
Whatever he does, he cannot be allowed to interfere with our purpose. I shall go to the home of Arthur Cottonwood and plague his dreams.
Our purpose? I have a purpose of my own, which you will learn of at a time of my own choosing.
Quiet, gal. Don't you know our employer is resting upstairs?
I'm sorry, Mr. Jenkins. I'll get it cleared up straight away.
Quietly, mind. We don't need Mr. Cottonwood getting any more unpleasant surprises. You best get that, Mary. It will be Dr. Stapleton. You, sir. You're not Dr. Stapleton.
Very observant of you. This is the Cottonwood residence, I presume.
Yes, sir, but that doesn't explain why you happen to be in it.
I'm the doctor, if you would be so kind to announce me.
Dr. Stapleton is Mr. Cottonwood's doctor. I don't know you, sir. Dr. Stapleton is the only doctor who cares for Mr. Cottonwood. He's very particular about that.
Who, Mr. Cottonwood or Dr. Stapleton?
Mr. Cottonwood, sir. Now, it seems you have had a wasted journey. Doctor...
Just the doctor, and I wouldn't say the journey's been wasted at all.
I've just told you, Mr. Cottonwood doesn't like to be treated by anyone other than Dr. Stapleton. Your journey, therefore, has to have been wasted.
Ah, but I'm not here to treat Mr. Cottonwood.
But you said...
I said I was the doctor. The rest, you just assumed. Never a good habit to get into. Young lady, would you announce me to your master? If not him, then to that young chap I met earlier. Now, what was his name? Ah, yes, Daniel.
Mr. Jenkins?
That won't be necessary, Mary. This gentleman is just leaving.
I've got Mr. Cottonwood's wallet. He dropped it in the street earlier.
Why didn't you say before? I can take that from you.
No, I'd rather hand it to him personally. A gentleman thing and all that.
Mr. Cottonwood is indisposed. I assure you, should you leave it with me, it will be perfectly safe until Mr. Cottonwood is available to receive it.
When he's unindisposed, you mean?
Quite, sir.
Well, if you insist. I've got it in here somewhere. Would you mind holding these for me?
If sir insists.
Just a couple more things, I'm afraid. Plutarian passport. Keys to the city of Morphaton. Golden Moon Access Key and Gym Pool and Spa Pass. Ah, here it is. Oh, you seem to have your hands full.
Indeed, sir.
Well, as you're a little busy, I'll pop this up to Mr. Cottonwood myself.
Sir, I must insist that you stop!
You really shouldn't be shouting. You'll disturb Mr. Cottonwood.
Dr. Stapleton, you've arrived at last. Wait a minute, you're not Dr. Stapleton.
I've already been through this once. Let's not follow that same road, eh? Here's Mr. Cottonwood's wallet. Now perhaps you'll explain what's really wrong with this gentleman.
I told you earlier, nothing like this has happened before.
Oh, I know what you said. You were lying then and you're lying now. What I don't understand is why. Tell me what's happening and I may be able to help.
We don't need your help, thank you. Dr. Stapleton is on his way and...
He won't be able to help. Your demeanour proves that to me. You're concerned far more than you would be if Mr. Cottonwood was suffering from some common ailment. Now, tell me what's been happening.
We're not sure, but we think it's some type of brain sickness.
Madness, you mean?
That's as good a word as any. He started to become delusional. This is the third time it's happened, and each time he claims he's been haunted by ghosts.
And you don't believe him?
Of course not, Doctor. They don't exist.
You're very sure for one so young.
Well, it's all nonsense, isn't it?
Is it? I've seen many strange things in my time, far too many to discount the possibility that ghosts are real and that Mr. Cottonwood has seen them.
No. No, leave me!
Would ghosts torment his dreams?
Perhaps. The memory of what happened would, at the very least. Arthur, come on, wake up.
What? Where am I?
You're at home, sir.
It happened again. Who are you, sir?
This is the doctor, sir. He helped you when you had your turn.
Thank you for your trouble. I'm sure I'll be fine now.
I doubt that.
What do you mean, sir? I've been working long hours recently, and the effort has taken its toll on me. Nothing more.
Daniel's told me a little of what's really been happening.
He's done what? He had no right to...
He did what he thought was best. You should be proud of having such a loyal employee. What on earth?
Are you all right, Doctor?
Can't you hear it?
Hear what? The room is silent apart from us.
A sort of buzzing sound. It gets right into your head.
He has returned.
Who has?
He is here. Can't you see him?
Foolish man. It is you I come for, and only you can see me.
I can hear you, though.
How can this be? Who are you? What power do you possess to recognize my presence?
To whom are you talking, Doctor?
Shh!
I think Mr. Cottonwood's occasional visitor has returned.
I can't see a thing!
Neither can I, but I can hear his voice.
And I recognize the face. Samuel Goodwin, I name you!
My name has no power over me, you fool. The name means nothing when you enter the land of the dead. Only the animosity I hold towards you feeds me in that dark place.
Towards me? I did nothing to you.
Or for me, either. You had the power to save me, but did nothing.
You were ruined. There was nothing I could have done to save you. I could have bought you a little more time, nothing more, and that would have been at the cost of my own business.
A risk, nothing more. A risk that you would expect one who calls himself a friend to make.
Leave him alone. This is not the purpose we were sent to.
Who's that?
A spirit who cares. More will become clearer later, but for now suffice in the knowledge that I bear no ill will towards you, Arthur.
I'm not beholden to any words of yours.
To me, perhaps not, but there is another you are beholden to. He will not be happy with what you have done. Leave now and go to him. I go now also, but know that I shall return when you need me.
Wait, I need to talk to you.
At a later time.
She's gone. I can't sense her presence anymore.
Nor can I. Arthur, did you recognize her voice?
I am tired, Doctor. She was familiar. I must rest. Perhaps I will be able to remember more clearly later.
Rest now. Daniel and I will be waiting when you wake. Come, Daniel. Let's leave your master to sleep. Daniel, could you take me to Mr. Cottonwood's offices?
Of course, Mr. Cottonwood has entrusted me with a key. But why?
Just a hunch. I'm hoping that we might find out a little more about this mystery spirit if we look through some of his papers there.
Of course. The key's in my chambers. Perhaps you could get Jenkins to arrange the carriage while I get it. He's Mr. Cottonwood's butler.
Ah, Jenkins. Yes, we've already met.
Doctor? That fool you've saddled us with will ruin everything.
There was no other choice. We needed three to fulfill our compact, and he was the only other spirit with a connection to Cottonwood.
Rein him in, then. He listens to you. Tell him to stay away from Arthur until the time we all go to him together.
I'll speak to him. His anger at Cottonwood is great, though. He blames him for his death.
He died at his own hand. Arthur was guiltless in the act.
And what of you? Cottonwood was complicit in your death, was he not? Do you not have some lingering vestiges of anger directed towards him?
My death was an accident. Yes, Arthur was the cause, but it was unintentional. He had no way of knowing what would happen. I have no anger for Arthur, only love.
I sensed a strong presence around Cottonwood earlier. Who was it?
He's called the Doctor. I know him not, but he could sense my presence. I have never encountered a human who could do that unless I wanted them to.
Did you sense anything of him?
Goodness. Strong sense of love for the world. And a sense of eternity. He is like no other I have met, but he has the interests of Arthur at heart. I'm sure of that.
Then he needs to be pulled in closer to Cottonwood. Perhaps he can help us in our endeavours.
I'll speak to Arthur. Tell him to trust in the Doctor.
Goodwin! Samuel Goodwin, I call to your spirit. Come to me!
What now?
Silence, you fool! Cottonwood has a protector now. Did you not think that worth telling me?
There is a man with him. He calls himself the Doctor. He may tend the sick, but what use will he be against the damned?
He can hear you, talk to you, and you think that's nothing to concern yourself with.
He is a mortal. What power could he have over us?
Dead or alive, you are one of the most stupid people I've ever met. He can hear us. Do you really not understand? He is no mere mortal. He is something much more dangerous to us. Do you think he'll just stand idly by and let us go after Cottonwood in the way we plan?
What of the female? You said you would win her over.
I've already told you we need her as the third. She will help us. Willingly or unwillingly. She won't be able to stop herself. When the time comes, she won't even realize that it's our plan she's abetting.
So you say. I still have my doubts. In the meantime, I'll keep an eye on this Doctor. If he is as dangerous as you say, he will need watching.
Fool. You are only a pawn in my game. When the time comes, you will be no more relevant than the female. Even Cottonwood is nothing more than a means to an end. The time is approaching, though. Soon I will be free of this hellish limbo, and not even the Doctor will be able to stop it from happening. Just as in any good game of chess, the pawns will be sacrificed when necessary.
How long have you worked for Arthur, Daniel?
I came into Mr. Cottonwood's employ at the age of 10, first as a runner, and then later as his factotum.
So, do you know anything of this Samuel Goodwin, then?
He died some years before I started working for Mr. Cottonwood, Doctor.
That's not what I asked, Daniel. Do you know anything about him?
I know a little, though most of it could be nothing more than rumour. Mr. Cottonwood has never mentioned him.
Rumours often have a basis in fact. What did you hear?
Mr. Cottonwood was at school with Mr. Goodwin. That I know for a fact. They were friends apparently, although it wasn't a friendship that was particularly approved of by Mr. Cottonwood's family.
Why?
Mr. Cottonwood's family were quite wealthy. Like my master, they'd made their fortune in commerce.
And Goodwin's family was poor?
Far from it. The Goodwins were of titled nobility.
I would have thought the friendship would have been encouraged. Wealth isn't everything, and the Goodwins would have had something that the Cottonwoods would have found very marketable. Status.
Yes, at first the friendship was welcomed in the Cottonwood household, but Mr. Goodwin wasn't to their taste. He was the youngest son and was expected to either go into commerce himself or pursue a military career. There was something in his character though, some strain of madness possibly. It's not uncommon amongst the gentry. Anyway, he got into some trouble apparently, hushed up by his family of course, but not before it escaped into the rumour mill.
And the Cottonwoods decided that their son shouldn't associate with Goodwin because of this?
Mr. Cottonwood wouldn't listen though. He was Mr. Goodwin's friend and he stood by him. Besides, again this is only rumour, but it appears that Mr. Cottonwood had fallen in love with Mr. Goodwin's younger sister.
Did his family know about this?
Apparently yes. They weren't keen on the couple courting, but Mr. Cottonwood was adamant he would make her his wife. From what I heard, Mr. Cottonwood arranged the wedding, but his family managed to persuade him to call it off. I've never heard how they did that. Mr. Cottonwood doesn't usually weaken his resolve, though.
So they never married?
No, the wedding was cancelled, and Mr. Cottonwood stopped seeing the lady, and much to his family's relief, ended his friendship with Mr. Goodwin, too.
What happened to Goodwin's sister?
She died a little later, no idea how. It was very hush-hush. Mr. Goodwin blamed Mr. Cottonwood for her death, though. I suppose Mr. Cottonwood must have blamed himself, too.
Why?
As I said, his friendship with Mr. Goodwin had ended. Mr. Goodwin went into commerce eventually. He was never particularly successful. He took wild risks with his money and often had to be bailed out of trouble. On more than one occasion, Mr. Cottonwood gave him large sums of money to get back on his feet again. I can only think that there was some guilt that caused him to do this.
He didn't help him on one occasion, though.
No, Mr. Goodwin had speculated his entire fortune on an enterprise he hoped would make him one of the wealthiest men in the empire. The enterprise was failing, so he asked Mr. Cottonwood to put everything he owned into the project. Mr. Cottonwood refused. He didn't believe the scheme would ever be a success. He wasn't prepared to destroy himself financially, no matter how much guilt he felt.
And having lost everything, Goodwin killed himself?
So I believe. Ah, we seem to have arrived.
Cabby, take us back to Mr. Cottonwood's home.
I thought you wanted to go to his office. What about the information you were hoping for?
I think I've already got it, Daniel. I think I've already got it.
Arthur, wake up.
Hmm? What time is it?
Arthur, waken.
What? Oh, it's you.
Do you know me yet?
I think I've always known, Amanda. I never meant for anything to happen to you. You do know that, don't you?
Hush. Your guilt is misplaced. I know you would never have hurt me intentionally. I loved you, and I love you still.
And your love has been what's brought you to me?
Yes, my love and concern.
Concern? I was fine before the haunting started.
If only that were the case. Your life has become empty.
Hardly empty, Amanda. I have my work, my...
Exactly. Other than your work, what is there in your life that gives you any enjoyment? Does your work even give you that? You are meant to love, Arthur. There is more to life than the pursuit of wealth.
Love? I've tried loving before, remember? Look what happened. Love brought me to you, only for you to be taken away from me.
Jenkins? Has your master woken?
I don't like your tone.
Doctor, perhaps we should just go up. I think you've antagonised Jenkins enough for one day already.
Wait a minute. What do you mean I've antagonised him enough?
Jenkins is a proud man, Doctor. He feels belittled by your actions earlier. As much as I'd agree that he needs taking down a peg or two at times, his loyalty to Mr. Cottonwood cannot be questioned.
There was more than enough love inside you to move on, but you chose not to. You let guilt consume you and shunned your feelings for anything other than the pursuit of financial gain. That is no sort of life for one such as you.
So you came to do what, exactly?
to redeem you.
And what of your brother? If he's trying to redeem me too, I'd rather take the damnation.
My brother is still with anger and hate. Perhaps you could redeem each other.
How can I redeem him? He's nothing but spirit.
Perhaps his need for redemption is greater still than your own. Being a spirit does not protect you. Samuel and I are both consigned to perpetual limbo. Neither of us was able to give up on this world because something was pulling us back to it. That something was you, Arthur.
What should I do? How can I redeem Samuel and myself?
I'm not omnipotent, and I'm not sure I would want to be. I can sense things, though, and I detected the presence of one who could help you when I last came to you.
The Doctor?
Yes. He has an aura around him, stronger than any living persons I've ever yet encountered. He is a good man. No, it goes beyond good. He has done things that transcend such a simple concept. There is also another that will come to your aid should you require it.
Who?
Another spirit that centers on you.
Another spirit? Who is this one, and why do so many of you have an interest in me?
I do not know his name. He has never chosen to give it to me, and in the world of spirits it is not the dumb thing to ask. It was he who tutored me in the ways of communicating with the living so that I could try to help you. Remember what I have told you. Trust in the Doctor.
Wait! Amanda!
Ah, Mr. Cottonwood, you're awake.
Indeed I am, Doctor. Awake and with information to share. I now know who the other spirit was.
The lady you were engaged to be married to?
How on earth did you know that?
Daniel helped fill in a few of the blanks. He's a rather astute young fellow, most of the time. What I would like to know is exactly how she died.
I'd rather not...
I wouldn't ask if it wasn't important.
How much do you know?
I know that you were engaged to her, but that you called the engagement off.
Only publicly. I loved Amanda. My family didn't approve of the relationship. I announced that the engagement was over, but continued to see Amanda. We planned to marry in secret. Would have, too, if it wasn't for her brother, Samuel. We'd been friends for a long time, but that friendship ended when my engagement to Amanda finished. To be honest, it was a friendship I wasn't all that bothered about losing. We'd been close once, but as I grew, I started to see Samuel for who he really was.
It happens. I had a close friend when I was growing up too. Our paths separated over the years, and now there's nothing but hate left on his side.
It's sad when friendship ends, but sometimes we just grow out of people. Anyway, one day I met with Amanda. We had a secret place of our own in the woods where we would sit together and talk, planning our marriage. Samuel must have followed her, or perhaps I'm doing him a disservice and he just chanced upon us. He was angry, angrier than I think I'd ever seen him. He accused me of besmirching his family's honour and threatened to tell our families what we had been planning. Then he showed me just how low he was prepared to stoop. He offered to ignore what he had seen if I gave him money. Not just a little, either. We fought, then... Amanda ran off. She hated to see me fighting her brother. I ran after her, but so did Samuel. He was calling out the most terrible threats to her. There was a pond near the edge of the woods. Amanda must have run from the woods and fallen in before she realized it was there. By the time I found her, it was too late. Her dress had caught on an underwater root and she hadn't been able to pull herself free.
I take it Samuel hushed the whole matter up?
For his own ends. He didn't want the scandal attached to his family. It would have affected his future prospects, and he couldn't have that. His family announced her death a few weeks later. They said she'd contracted an illness of the heart and slowly wasted away. Of course, the locals assumed it was my breaking off the engagement that did it, and Samuel did nothing to dissuade them in their erroneous beliefs.
You blame yourself, don't you?
I am to blame, Doctor, just as much as Samuel was. If I'd had the courage to stand up to my family, Amanda and I could still have been together today.
You wanted to please your family, sir.
I would have remained true to myself.
So, when Samuel came to you for money...
Guilt, perhaps a little fear, too. After Amanda's death, I threw myself into my work. In time, I inherited my family's business and became, if not wealthy, then at least comfortably off. I knew any hint of scandal could ruin me, so I paid Samuel off when he came calling.
And now you're haunted by the spirits of both.
One who loves me, one who wants me damned. The veil of death has been split asunder, and I am trapped in the heart of the maelstrom. And then there is the other.
What other?
Amanda told me there is a third spirit that has an interest in me.
Has she told you who it is?
She didn't know, and try as I might, I can't think of who it could be either.
What did she tell you?
To put my trust in you, Doctor.
Well, that's good advice anyway. I have some psychic ability and should be able to shield you from some of Samuel's wrath when he visits again.
You say again? You expect him to come back?
Well, I... Ah, right on time.
I can see him!
Yes, he does seem to have come here in strength this time.
Of course I came back. There's no escape for you, Arthur Cottonwood. I'll haunt you till your dying day, and then I'll haunt your death.
No more, Samuel. I've let you punish me enough because of the guilt I felt. I won't let you torment me further.
You think the paltry parlor tricks I've subjected you to so far are enough? You have no idea of the agonies I could put you through, but you soon will. Perhaps this will serve as a fitting example.
Stop! Get it out of my head! Stop!
Leave him alone! I command it!
Have some power, Doctor! Yes, I know you. And I know that your power is less than mine.
Perhaps, but I can still protect Arthur from you.
But for how long, Doctor? Even now, I can sense your spirit weakening. Soon you will require rest, but I will never stop.
I can sense you weakening, Doctor. I'm not ready yet, for the time is near at hand. My final pawn needs directing into place. The spirit of Amanda Goodwin, come to me!
What is it? Something wrong with Arthur?
Your brother's spirit is with Cottonwood as we speak. I sense his anger, but I feel the presence of another too.
That must be the doctor.
I believe it is. He seems to be holding your brother at bay, but I do not think he'll be able to last much longer. You must go to Cottonwood now and help the defense.
Are you not coming?
I will be along directly. If you engage him in combat first, my appearance may come as a surprise to him and throw him off balance. Now, go to him quickly. I fear the doctor is reaching the end of his power. Oh, I'll be with you soon enough. The time I have been waiting for has finally come!
Power is failing, Doctor. How long have you got left? Minutes or seconds?
Longer than you'd expect. I won't let you harm anyone here.
Your talk is little more than bluster. You forget, I can sense your power, and its strength is fading fast.
Samuel, leave Arthur and the doctor alone. I command it.
You have no command over me. You were a lovesick, foolish girl in life, and you've remained so in death. I see things more clearly. He never cared for you. You do know that, don't you?
He loved me, Samuel. He loves me still. Look at Arthur's life, and the loss of my love is plain to see.
It was always the money. He saw you as a means of gaining a title and the power of privilege that goes with it. Nothing more. Now stand aside.
Doctor, withdraw your spirit. It is time I took on the fight I was too scared to face in life.
I could help you.
You have done enough, Doctor. This is my fight, but I thank you for the protection you offered Arthur.
So, you dare to challenge me? Come, little sister. I shall show you the folly of your ways.
Amanda! No! I'd rather he hurt me than turn on you.
Hush, Arthur. This battle is of my choosing. It is a fight I ran from in life, and I won't run from it again. Come, my brother. I am ready.
Doctor, are you okay? Here, lean on me.
Help me over to Arthur.
What's happening, Doctor?
They've entered battle with one another.
They're not moving. Where did this wind come from?
It's a psychic battle. They're fighting with their minds. They don't need to move. The wind is a byproduct of their fight. That battle with Samuel took a bit more out of me than I realised. Still, I'm not as old as I used to be.
What?
Don't worry, Daniel. Arthur, can you hear me?
Doctor! Pain! I couldn't think, it was so terrible!
The pain should pass in a few moments, but if Amanda can't stop Samuel, then it's going to get a lot worse.
Why aren't you helping her?
She'll be fine for the moment. I can only help her a little, but she said there's another spirit who's attached to you. He could help her far more than I ever could.
How does that help? I don't even know who this other spirit is!
You don't need to. Just call out with your mind. If he's attached to you, he should hear and come running.
What do I call out?
Help me would be good. You need to do it fast, though. I think Amanda's starting to lose the fight.
How can you tell? You said it was a psychic battle.
Look at her. Her image is starting to lose focus. Now look at Samuel. His is still clear as crystal. Amanda's is fading as her psychic force diminishes.
Can you help her?
A little. Now listen, Daniel, because this is very important. When I join her in battle, I'll look as if I'm not breathing. I will be, but at a much slower rate. Whatever happens, don't disturb me. If you do, my breathing really will stop, along with my heart.
How will we know if you're losing?
You probably won't. Not until it's too late, at least.
Should I get Mr. Cottonwood out of here?
There's really no point. Samuel's spirit is centred on him. No matter where you take Arthur, Samuel can get to him. Now, no more questions, and don't forget, don't disturb me.
Mr. Cottonwood, are you ready?
I think so, Daniel. You know, you've been a brave lad sticking with me through all of this. A real brave lad. Spirit who is attached to me, I call to you. My danger grows. If you can hear me, I need you now. It's done.
Did you speak to this other spirit?
No, I called out to him, and I think he heard me. I don't think I can explain it properly, but I sensed his presence, and he was coming closer as I called.
Wow, that was fast.
His form is blurred, little more than a shadow.
the Doctor was right about the image of Amanda, then what use will this spirit be to me? His power is waning already.
Perhaps his power combined with the Doctor's will be enough to help Amanda.
Yes, look, Samuel's form has started to blur.
Good heavens! So it is! Wait a minute, so is Amanda's. They're both starting to lose their form.
This other spirit isn't, though. He's grown more substantial by the second. I can see him far more clearly now.
Something's wrong. Quickly, Daniel, wake the Doctor.
I can't. You heard what he said. If we disturb him, he could die.
Amanda's disappearing. I can hardly see her now.
They're gone.
Ah! Oh, what happened?
The spirits of Samuel and Amanda Goodwin are gone.
Gone? Gone where?
Their shades have dissipated. They are no more.
What about their power? Where did that go?
Inside of me, of course, just as I always planned it. I seem to have got a little of your power too, Doctor. An added bonus I was more than happy to accept.
Don't understand.
Of course you don't. I never expected you to, but I think the Doctor is starting to comprehend the situation.
Oh yes, I think I'm getting the picture now. You wanted the power of the other two spirits all along, but why the elaborate plot?
Three is a powerful number, Doctor, especially in the world of spirits. It takes three to save a soul or three to destroy it. Those two fools believed I was on their side, but that was never my intent. Saving or destroying a soul would be of no use to me. To take over it, to own it and the body that hosts it, now that's a far greater goal. And for that I needed to hold the power of three spirits inside of me.
Who are you? And why do you hate me so much? Samuel's anger I could understand, but to want to take over my body? What wrong did I ever do you to make you despise me so much?
You? You are nothing to me, a means to an end and nothing more. My target has always been the Doctor.
Me? Impossible. You had no way of knowing I would even come here. Even I didn't know I would come here.
I know you better than you know yourself, Doctor. I set events in motion that called you in so insidiously you weren't even aware you were being manipulated. I called you here and you came as unwittingly as a lamb to the slaughter.
Who are you?
Look closely at my form, Doctor. I have the power to alter it now. Perhaps a more familiar guise will lift away the cobwebs.
The Master!
Indeed, Doctor. You have, as ever, been an interesting pawn in my game. But like any game of chess, this one must end. Checkmate, Doctor. Checkmate.
Even with the power of those two poor spirits, you haven't got the power to take over a Time Lord's body. Give it up.
Perhaps, Doctor. But you were weakened and you can't protect everyone. Perhaps the boy would make a fitting vessel for my spirit. He's young and vibrant. It's been a long time since I had a body with such youth.
Leave him out of this. He's done nothing to you.
When has that ever stopped me before? Yes, a nice young body to house me might be better than an aging Time Lord one.
Daniel, get out of here, quickly!
I can't leave Mr. Cottonwood!
Daniel, you've been like a son to me. You're in danger if you stay. Do as the Doctor says and run.
Your concern for these primitives never ceases to amaze me.
As does your disdain for them to me. Stop this, and I'll help you.
Perhaps you're right. But I think I can help myself far better.
Arthur, look out!
Now, if you'll excuse me, Doctor, my new body...
I need a little time to get acquainted.
You need to explain what happened, Doctor. The authorities.
Must never be told. They wouldn't understand, and if you try to make them, you'll end up being locked away.
But what about Mr. Cottonwood?
I'm sorry, Daniel. He's dead.
He can't be. Jenkins told me that Mr. Cottonwood came down from his room and ordered his carriage to be brought to the front. He's off somewhere in the city in no fit state to be alone.
No, Daniel. The Master's out there. He's the one who's in control of Arthur's body now, and I need to find him.
But what about Mr. Cottonwood? Where's his spirit?
It's gone, absorbed into the spirit of the Master.
Then let me come with you. I can get through to Mr. Cottonwood's spirit. Help free him.
No, don't even think about it. Arthur can't be saved. He's dead. Worse than dead. He's a part of the Master now, and nothing can ever free him. Now, I've got to go, but I want to leave you with a warning. If Arthur ever returns, that means I haven't managed to find him. Just remember that it's not really him, it's the Master in his body. Get as far away from him as you can and stay there. You know the truth, and that makes you a small threat to him. That will be enough to ensure your death.
Well, what do I do now? Mr. Cottonwood was a man of means. What do I do with all this?
What would Arthur have wanted you to do? More importantly, what would Amanda have wanted him to do?
She wanted to save him. His love for money was all he had left, or so she thought. I'll wait a few months and have him declared dead. Then I can pass out his wealth to the poor. I think Amanda would have approved. At least if this Master does come back, he won't have any of Mr. Cottonwood's money to help him.
I'm sure she would. Now I have to go. Take care, Daniel. I'm sure that whatever you do, you'll be a credit to Arthur's memory.
You can step out of that alley, Doctor. I can sense your presence.
You don't seem surprised to see me.
I'm not. I told you before, I know you better than you know yourself. You couldn't just walk away. You had too many questions that were unanswered.
Such as how you ended up a spirit and how you came to be haunting Victorian London.
I died, Doctor. My spirit was released at the moment of death, and I found myself looking down over my own abandoned body. I saw you. Your pity for me was almost palpable. Do you know something, Doctor? In that moment, I think I hated you more than I ever had before.
Because I felt pity for you?
Yes. To know that you were standing over me and despairing of the fact my life had come to the end it had, it made me feel so...
weak? Lost?
But I'm not. The fact that even death cannot hold me shows how superior I truly am. I had to show you, Doctor. I had to make you realise how far my power really stretched. That's why I came here. I knew. Somehow I knew that someday you would come here.
And what now? You're trapped. Trapped in a body you wouldn't have chosen, and in a time and on a planet you despise.
What are you offering me, Doctor? A chance to travel with you? An eternity under your protection? Well, I spurn that chance. I'd rather rot in this primitive backwater than become a lapdog to you.
I can take you anywhere.
I choose nowhere. Step aside, Doctor.
You know I can't do that.
What will you do? Force me through the streets of London to your TARDIS? What of your companions? How would they feel having to share their travels with me? I assume you've told them about me before. No, Doctor. I'll tell you what you will do. You'll let me pass, and I shall get on with my new life alone, free from your interference.
That's not going to happen.
Trust me, Doctor, you don't want to do this.
I can't leave you here. The harm you could cause, would cause to be more precise, leaves me no option.
Why should I go with you when all I need to do is take your TARDIS from you?
I'd never let that happen. I'd rather...
die, Doctor? Is that what you were about to say?
Let go of me! You know this can't work! All you can do is...
trigger your regeneration? Tell me, Doctor, how many lives have you had now? I could stay here, throttling the life out of every regeneration you have left. Do you feel that, Doctor? The life fading from within you? Imagine how it would feel to see your own lifeless body with your mortal enemy kneeling over it. That's the sight that's tormented me. Kept me going when it would have been far easier to accept the blessed relief of eternal death, and now I bestow that gift to you.
Revenge? Is that all that kept you going? I hate to say it, but if that's all you have left, then you would have been better off dying. Every time I faced you in the past, I contented myself that somewhere there was a small spark of the person you used to be still inside you. I hoped that one day I could save you.
Save me? Doctor, I have never asked for salvation, redemption, or anything else from you apart from your death.
Your body's not up to it, Master. You may have the mind of a Time Lord, but your new body is human, with all the frailties that come with it. How long can you survive in that shell without my help?
It's just a momentary weakness. I will have this body under control.
I have equipment in my TARDIS that will stabilize your condition. Whether you like it or not, you are coming with me.
Unhand me, you ruffian! I think you're drawing attention to yourself. My body may be weaker, but my mind is still as sharp as ever.
Here, you get your hands off him!
Unhand me, sir. This gentleman is a patient of mine. He needs help.
It appears to me like you don't want it. Now get your meat hooks off him. Go on, fella. You get off while I hold on to this one.
Stop him! Somebody stop him!
Stop your struggling. I'll let you go when you can't catch him up. What the hell?
You idiot! Unhand me now. You've let him get away.
Goodbye, Doctor. Our paths will cross again soon, I promise you.
At last!
Hello, Nick. Hello, Rob.
4 hours, you said? 4 hours? We've been waiting here for the last 7 hours.
It's been snowing, Doctor. For the last 3 hours, we've had a semi-blizzard and we've been standing outside in it waiting for you!
I'm so sorry. I got quite sidetracked, and you know how time seems to pass quite quickly when that happens.
You mean you forgot about us, don't you?
Well, not forgot exactly. Pressing concerns and all that, you know how it is. Besides, I knew you'd be okay. Why were you waiting out here for me anyway? You should have gone into one of the taverns. At least you'd have been warm. It's not as if I would have left without you if you hadn't been here when I got back.
Oh, but you need money to stay in a tavern, Doctor.
Rob, you had 2 sovereigns to spend. That could have lasted you a month. Surely you couldn't have spent it so quickly.
Well, we spent some in the Fitzroy Tavern, and then we went to see a few sights.
A nice carriage ride back used some of it up.
And?
We were robbed.
Yeah, I just had the money out in my hand. I was counting it or something, and it was just gone. Oh, pickpocketed, I suppose.
Oh dear. Was he a big fellow?
Well, big-ish.
He was a great big lumbering 8-year-old.
I take it you couldn't catch him?
Oh, move like the clappers he did. He was long gone by the time we realised. And so was our dinner, unfortunately.
You seem to have had a very eventful few hours. Mine was quite tame in comparison. Come on, let's go and have a bit of festive fun together. Come on, you two. I know the perfect spot. You'll absolutely love it. Very Christmassy.
Doctor, I think I'm all Christmased out.
Nonsense, you'll love Bedford Falls. We may even bump into an old friend of mine, George Bailey.